of sport from the BBC with Alistair Ross coming up in the next 10 minutes. The banned former head of cricket's IPL says he wouldn't have formed the league if he'd have known the direction world cricket would take.
I will get an unblemished reputation, but what I did do is live a dream and were able to go out there and make it happen.
Sunderland looks set to appoint former Chelsea midfielder Gus Poyet as their new boss, and Rafael Nadal returns to the top of the tennis world.
I think it's an unbelievable comeback, no doubt about it. 1 year ago, people were saying he might never play tennis again. 1 year later, he's world number one.
We start with the former head of the Indian Premier League, who has spoken to BBC Sport about the lifetime ban that's been imposed on him by the Board of Control for Cricket in India. Lalit Modi, who denies any wrongdoing, is accused of indiscipline and misconduct and was first removed from involvement in cricket 3 years ago. However, Modi, a former vice president of the BCCI, has accused his former colleagues of bias and claims they can't be trusted with the power they wield over Indian and international cricket.
I think the BCCI is extremely detrimental to the game of cricket. If you see what they're doing in terms of arm twisting the South African Cricket Board, which is, I'm saying they're going to curtail their number of matches that are going to take place in South Africa, it's going to be a death blow to the South African Cricket Board. And it's going to become a big, big problem for cricket, because what the impact that's going to have, the South African Cricket Board will lose its media rights licenses with its broadcasters, its revenue lifeline will be cut. But with that happening, it'll have an impact on the players, it'll have an impact on the infrastructure, and if India is able to get away with this, it will use that as a carrot and stick policy with the rest of the world to dictate its own term.
You helped make the BCCI so strong, particularly financially. Do you feel guilty about that now?
I do, without doubt. I did transform the board. You know, I put $8 billion into their coffers, and I did make it a board, a very, very strong board. It's unfortunate that the board thinks they can play by themselves. My objective at that point in time was always to ensure that we play with other nations, so we have to make the other nations stronger.
Do you think the rest of the cricketing world can stand up to India?
Unfortunately, they're not able to, but they should. Because I think only England is pretty much independent in its revenue structure and is able to stand on its own two feet. But though India, they do depend a lot on India also for their revenue, but they're able to do it without India, without doubt. But all the other nations, the revenue stream that dependent very much on India touring them.
Would you trade all the money that you earned from the IPL, and some say that that's somewhere in the region of $80 million, to be sitting here today with an unblemished reputation?
I never took the $80 million in the first place. I added $8 billion to the coffers of the BCCI. It's an eyewash. I run a multi-billion-dollar company. I joined cricket because I love the game and I wanted to promote the game.
The question, though, isn't about the $80 million. The question is, would you trade the money that you made from the IPL for an unblemished reputation today?
The question is a loaded question. It's an I made. I never made any money. I added $8 billion to the BCCI coffers. And secondly, I will get an unblemished reputation, but what I did do is live a dream and were able to go out there and make it happen.
Knowing what's happened with world cricket and where we are today, would you still have gone through with the IPL knowing that all those years ago?
No, I wouldn't.
Lalit Modi, the former head of the IPL with the BBC's Seth Bennett. Now to football, and the 2012 Africa Cup of Nations champion Zambia are looking for a new coach. The man who led them to that success little more than 18 months ago, Hervé Renard, is leaving the job to take over our French league side, Sochaux. The president of the Football Association of Zambia, Kalusha Bwalya, says Renard leaves with their gratitude.
Renard has left a fantastic legacy. Renard was a good worker, an honest man. Every time he was always up there and did his very best. He won the biggest trophy for Zambia today, which is the Africa Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea and Gabon. So he has left a very good platform. He has left a very good legacy for himself. He has to be proud of himself as a coach. I think that when he came, nobody knew about Renard. You know, today Renard is a household name, and the people respect him in Africa. And I'm happy for him that he can be able to go to Europe and establish a career for himself there.
The new president of the South African Football Association has told BBC Sport about his vision for the game in his country. Danny Yordan is the man now charged with reviving South Africa's fortunes after they failed to qualify for next summer's World Cup and a disappointing Cup of Nations as hosts earlier this year.
Well, I think the biggest challenge for South African football is to put the structures in place. Structure junior competitions from grassroots level right up to our national teams, to build 9 centers of excellence or academies in our country, and then to have stronger state or provincial structures to support the game.
Premier League Sunderland are expected to name the former Chelsea and Tottenham player Gus Poyet as their new manager shortly. The Uruguayan was manager of second-tier side Brighton until his sacking at the end of last season. Here's our senior football reporter, Ian Dennis.
Question of timing now, I think, for Gus Poyet, but he is close to being appointed at Sunderland. He's made no secret of his desire to manage at the Stadium of Light, and indications are that it could all be completed within the next 24 hours. It's been a fortnight since Paulo Di Canio was sacked. Kevin Ball has steadied the ship as caretaker manager and certainly restored harmony to the dressing room, but it's retaining their Premier League status that Poyet must ensure for a team that has suffered 5 successive league defeats. But because of the international break, he'll have to wait until the 19th of October for his first game at Swansea.
Staying in the Premier League, the Chelsea defender Ashley Cole's been ruled out of England's World Cup qualifier against Montenegro on Friday. Cole sustained a rib injury in Chelsea's win at Norwich on Sunday, though it's hoped he could be fit for England's final qualifier against Poland, which is next Tuesday. Coach Roy Hodgson's added Kieran Gibbs of Arsenal to his squad. While Manchester City are facing another spell without captain Vincent Kompany after it was confirmed he's suffering a thigh injury. Kompany's only just returned from a 3-week layoff and was injured during Saturday's win over Everton. He'll also miss Belgium's World Cup qualifiers against Croatia and Wales. And in Italy, AC Milan have been fined and ordered to play Udinese in front of an empty San Siro because of insulting chants used by some fans during their 3-2 defeat by Juventus on Sunday. Fans have been banned from its Curva Sud stand for their previous home game against Sampdoria because of chants towards Napoli fans just 2 weeks ago. Milan say they will appeal the ban and the $62,000 fine. To basketball, and the NBA's pre-season roadshow has arrived in Manchester for the latest match of the series, designed to spread the basketball message to new fans. Tuesday's match between the Oklahoma City Thunder and Philadelphia 76ers is one of 8 being played across 6 countries ahead of the new season. Oklahoma's all-star player Kevin Durant's among those who made the trip to Europe, and having also played in Turkey on Saturday, has confessed it's not easy spreading the NBA's message.
Honest answer is tough. You know, 13.5-hour flight. Body schedule is a little messed up. Everybody here doing anything for the game of basketball. And we're excited to be traveling to different countries to play this game that we love. A lot of guys didn't think that we'll be, you know, traveling around the world for basketball.
And in tennis, Rafael Nadal has returned to the top of the world tennis rankings for the first time since 2011. That's been confirmed. Since returning from injury in February, he's also won the French Open and the US Open titles. Here's our tennis correspondent, Russell Fuller.
He's the world number one by a fraction from Novak Djokovic in terms of the rankings computer. But when you look at the number of points he has amassed this year, he is a long way clear, and we can expect him now, assuming he stays fit, to be the world number one for at least 9 or 10 months.
And one of Nadal's great rivals of recent years, Roger Federer, believes it's fitting the Spaniard is once again confirmed as the world's best.
I'm really happy that Rafa has proven himself, you know, for himself personally, clearly, but also to the rest of the world, you know, that you never write off someone like him. And I'm very happy for him. I mean, the US Open was an unbelievable victory.
And Nadal's countryman David Ferrer is the 4th player to qualify for the end-of-season ATP World Tour Finals in London. Andy Murray still in doubt, though, with a back problem. That's your latest sport from the BBC. The BBC.